This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In the world of hip-hop, where most music is sampled, the Roots are exceptional. They play instruments. My guest Questlove is the band's co-founder and drummer. Spin magazine included their latest CD, Phrenology, on its list of the best albums of 2002. In GQ, rock critic Tom Moon wrote, "The Roots have never been hit makers. Their vision for black music tears out in radical directions, encompassing jazz, trance, rock, and Brazilian pop. From the beginning, this group of jazz heads and rhyme warriors have done things differently. They're a band, for starters, working in a genre in which musicians were once thought irrelevant. Their orbit has included activist rappers and rock stars, anyone grappling with what it means to be black and alternative." Questlove, who is also known as Amir Thompson, grew up around music. His father, Lee Andrews, led the doo-wop group Lee Andrews and the Hearts, which had the hit Teardrops. Questlove co-founded The Roots in 1987 when he was a student at the Philadelphia High School for Creative and Performing Arts. The Roots begin a national tour today. Let's start with a track from their latest CD, Phrenology. This is The Seed 2.0 with guest vocalist Cody Chestnut.
Knocked up 9 months ago, and what she finna have, she don't know. She want neo soul, cause hip-hop is old. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum or ice and gold. She want a whole lot of sun to fold. If you were obstacles, you just drop your cold. Cause one monkey don't stop the show. Little Mary's bad. In these streets she done ran ever since when the heat began. I told a girl, look here, calm down, I'ma hold your hand to enable you to peep the plan. Cause you was quick to learn, and we can make money to burn. If you allow me to lay this game, I don't ask for much, but enough room to spread my way. And the world finna know my name.
I don't ask for much these days, and I don't bitch and whine if I don't get my way. I only wanna fertilize another behind my lover's back. I sit and watch it to roots that
music from The Roots' new CD, Phrenology, and my guest is Questlove of The Roots. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Now, thanks for having me.
One thing everybody who knows The Roots knows about The Roots is that you play your own instruments. You're a drummer.
Right.
How unusual is that in hip-hop?
To be honest with you, my manager, Richard Nichols, and I were actually reflecting on kind of how sad it is that... He told me that, man, if Ellington were alive today, he'd be turning over. Well, I mean, he'd just turn over in his grave for the fact that actual musicianship is used as a novelty or a selling point to get a group over. And I mean, it's nothing that I think of is quite unusual. And you know, I mean, technically, because of sampling laws and a lot of restrictions that are placed on hip-hop right now, I mean, there are a lot of people that are utilizing, you know, instruments in their work. And even the early work of hip-hop before technology sort of, you know, caught up with modern times, I mean, you pretty much had to play a popular breakbeat to the house band. On Sugar Hill Records, Grandmaster Flash would have to play a particular breakbeat or cut to a house band, and they would have to sort of emulate it as if he were on the turntables. So, I mean, it is unusual. I will say that we are probably one of the more popular bands. I mean, usually hip hop that utilizes live instrumentation is just like musicians for hire, whereas, you know, the Roots are the actual focal point of, you know, to the viewer, so to speak.
When you started playing drums, as somebody who already loved rap, and this was like in the 80s, did you think there'd be a place for you in rap or hip-hop?
See, yeah, I kind of thought it was natural. You have to understand that when I was coming up, the first rap records that were out were records that were played by musicians. So you had Doug Wimbush, bassist Doug Wimbush, who plays for Living Color right now, and Keith LeBlanc, who's a popular drummer in his own right. They were the, I guess, the Sly and Robbie of Sugar Hill Records. And then Sugar Hill's the rival, Enjoy Records, the label that had the Treacherous Three and Spoonie G, they were backed up by a percussionist named Pumpkin, because he was the band leader and, I guess, a drummer. And the nucleus of his ensemble, a lot of the breaks that he performed, were just, it just spoke to me. So I just thought it was a natural thing. And coming up in high school, when the Roots first started, you know, hip-hop really wasn't that elaborate an arrangement. I'm talking about hip-hop circa 1984, 85, 86. I mean, it's pretty much just a drum beat, a simple drum beat, and a stab. A stab would be sort of like the exclamation point at the end of a sentence. You know, it could be scratched in or just like some sort of noise, mm-hmm. an enforcement noise. And, you know, so in high school, pretty much Black Thought, Tariq Trotter, would, you know, come up to me and just name any popular song at that time and point and just say, yo, play Top Billing. And, you know, because it was a drum arrangement, I knew how to play it. And that was like the most amazing thing to him. That, oh, he could play Top Billing. He could play, you know, The Bridge Is Over. He could play, you know, just naming all these songs and I could play them. I kind of thought it was natural.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you right there because that's kind of interesting. Since you came up in the era of sampling, as an actual musician, your friends mm-hmm. expected you to basically play the samples. You're still expected
to play,
but you're still expected to play like other people's music.
Right. Well, I mean, that's hip hop is audio pop art, really. It's just a collage of other ideas. And even at the time, I didn't know that, okay, sampling is the proper term for it. For the Hip Hop Nation, pretty much the first introduction to real sampling that we've ever seen was this episode of The Cosby Show when Stevie Wonder runs over the Huxtables' car with his limousine. Well, not that violent, but, you know, he invites them to a studio session. And for the first time, America got to see the process of sampling, in which you say something and it's repeated back to you. And after me and my friend saw that episode, we were begging for whatever that machine was called. We didn't know what it was called. You know, like in our heads, it was sort of like the Flintstone episode where, you know, like the little bird is inside of the machine and recreating the noise. And we didn't know how in the world that happened. So just during Christmas, Casio happened to make a product called an SK1 machine, which allowed you about maybe 3 or 4 seconds worth of sampling time. And, you know, me and all my friends got this little toy keyboard for Christmas. And, you know, you mess around with it a little while. You do like all the curse words, you know, and all that stuff. And then you start getting serious about it. And that's when I would like run to the basement where my drum set was and try and cram in 8 bars worth of drum breaks within 3 seconds, which, you know, you have to be pretty fast to do it.
Right.
And then I just, you know, realized the endless possibilities of a sampler.
Well, while we're talking about musicianship and sampling, I thought this would be a good time to play Rock You from your new CD, Phrenology, because you're actually playing on this, but you're playing more or less a rhythm line from Queen's We Will Rock You. But again, you're not sampling
well,
it.
Well, inspired.
You're playing
but,
it,
yeah,
and
we're
you're reinterpreting it, too.
It's inspired by it, but some artists are a little iffy about sample clearances, so.
Got it. Anything else you want to say about Rock
You? In case
you
the Lords are listening.
Right. Anything else you want to say about Rock You?
Rock You is just our mission statement. You know, the Roots are so associated with just a mellow atmosphere. I thought it was real important to start off the album with an exclamation point, you know. So Rock You is our mission statement for the album.
Okay. That's right.
Okay.
Rock me, 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 r And yo, y'all rappers, let's play. What I'm about to say, I'll probably get y'all niggas in a real strange way. Schmucks, ducks, and half-hearted pranks to clues. Willie Dack, Langston Hughes, put shanks and crews. I debut, they made the news, and I've been killing it since. Still in the trench, buzzing off the chiller suspense. I want my niggas out that barbed wire, still in the fence. Verbal assassin, I'm a killer, still in the sense. Rhymes is graphic, aiming straight at your mind, then blast that weak. The pieces and particles of fragments, mad vocabulary. Yes, I must confess, I'm like Nitty trying to sink a slug in Elliot's chest. Just taste on that, it's black, you can tell it.
That's The Roots from their new CD, Phrenology. My guest is Questlove, the drummer of the group, and one of the founders. The word niggas is used on the track that we just heard. Right. When is it okay with you, and when is it not okay with you to use the word?
You know, for we, I could play the politically correct term and say, you know, well, okay, we know it's wrong, but I mean, but basically, I think with black people, we pretty much will turn any tragedy into a term of endearment. So, you know, is it right? You know, I don't know if it's right or if it's wrong. You know, personally, I don't think that black people haven't made up that term, but I think that we've turned it around and just it's just another, I guess, like colloquialism for brother. To us, you know,
mm-hmm.
What's up, my nigga? How you doing? You know,
did you grow up with it that way?
Pretty much. I mean, it was natural. I mean, you know the difference between if you're being referred to as, you know, my brother, or if it's using a condescending term.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you started playing drums when you were in high school. Yes.
No, actually, earlier I started when I was two.
Oh, okay.
I was 2 years old. I started The Roots when I was in high school. My father is an oldies doo-wop singer from the Philadelphia area.
Leandros of Leandros and the Hearts.
Yeah, Leandros and the Hearts. So I pretty much, my childhood is pretty much based just backstage at doo-wop extravaganza shows, you know, like Dick Clark Presents, you know, and it would be like 10 groups, Don and Wine, Harvey and the Moonglows, The Tokens, you name it. If they were from the 50s or the 60s, it would just be a big show at either like Madison Square Garden or the Spectrum or out in the Forum in L.A. So pretty much that's, I grew up backstage
watching
all these groups.
Leandro's biggest hit, I think, was Teardrops in 1957?
Teardrops.
Yeah,
57? Yeah, 57.
Would you be willing to sing a few lines from it just to refresh listeners' memories?
I wouldn't want to scare your listeners, so.
Okay, well, how about this? How about we play a little bit of it?
We can do that, yeah.
I sit in my room looking out at the rain. My tears are like crystals, they cover my window pane. I'm thinking of our lost romance and how it should have been. Oh, if we only could start over again. I know you never forgive me, dear, for running out on you. I was wrong to take a chance with somebody new. I sit in my room looking out at the rain. My tears are like crystals, they cover my window pane. I know you never.
Okay, so that's Leandros and the Hearts. So you grew up, you know, backstage and watching your father perform. What sense did it give you of what the music life was like? And then you probably watched your father kind of drop out of sight after the doo-wop era was over. So you also knew what it was like to no longer be in the limelight after having been in it as a young man.
I mean, I was born in the 70s, so pretty much I came along.
Oh, you came along in the
yeah, it really wasn't about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really wasn't about it. I mean, even though he made it a career, if anything, he taught me that there is a plan B, you know, and that not everyone gets the plan A limelight,
Right. What was his
plan? By the time I was born, you know, he had met and married my mother. I have a sister as well, and they had opened up a boutique store, and they were quite content. And you know, as with any music phenomenon that occurs 20 years before, there's an upsurgence of it 20 years later, and I guess most of that started when Sha-Na-Na appearing at Woodstock, and then pretty much after that, just Dick Clark would throw a slew of shows just in the tri-state area, in the New York area, any place that loved doo-wop. Mm-hmm. And my father just made a great living out of it. And
don't you often wonder if there's going to be like old school rap shows? Like,
oh, there is right now.
Is there already?
Totally. And the thing with hip hop is the motto for hip hop is definitely here today and gone today. So
yeah, I know what you mean.
Anything under 5 years is pretty much considered old school. This weekend I was listening to a popular New York radio station, and they were like, now back in the day, Wu-Tang Clan, old school. I was like, wait a minute, Wu-Tang, that's 6 years ago.
Right.
It's like 6-7 years ago. You know, old school to me is, okay, maybe we can say like Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On, like a song that's definitely over 20 years old or something, you know, near 30 years old. But yeah, pretty much in the hip hop, it's here today and it's gone today.
Let's get back to your high school years. And you went to the High School of Creative and Performing Arts.
Performing Arts, right.
In Philadelphia.
Yes.
And so that means that you were exposed at a young age to artists of your age of every sort.
Exactly.
You know painters and dancers and people in theater.
Everything.
And music of every sort.
Boys to Men rehearsing in the...
Boys to Men was in your school?
In the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Always rehearsing.
Was it good to be exposed to so much?
It was perfect. You know, like, my first... I actually... unfortunately, I came to Performing Arts High School in the 11th grade. I started, Performing Arts had a private school sector that I went to from first to eighth grade. Then my parents took me out of that school and tried to send me to a college prep school, which was good academic. You know, I could wind up on Jeopardy, you know. You know, talk about the Iliad or something. But, you know, my heart was with music development. And so I begged them to send me to the public school for performing arts, and finally got my wish for the 11th and 12th grade. And walking there, like, I'd never been to public school, and pretty much my only exposure to that type of school was watching the television show Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're kind of wondering, like, okay, is this the type of school that's going to be like a cliche? Like, are they going to break out in dance numbers in the hallway and you know, to do all the things that you see on television. And, you know, I was, like, real skeptical of it. Like, it's not going to be, like, Fame or whatever. And sure enough, like, you walk into class and, you know, they're singing, you know, Boyz II Men's practicing in the corner. And you have, like, Krista McBride and Joey DeFrancesco trading fours down the hallway.
Wait, these are now well-known jazz musicians.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, like, the who's who of, like, the thespian world rehearsing, you know, their sonnets over there, and it's crazy. It was really a weird experience for me.
Now, like street credibility and authenticity is so important in rap, and you know, a lot of people believe that to be a good rap group or hip hop group, you have to like be from the ghetto, you have to be gangsters, the streets,
right.
Yeah. And so here you are, you know, you didn't go to the prep school, you went to the High School of Creative and Performing Arts. So it, was this, did you ever see this as like an obstacle to doing what you wanted to do? Because you might not be perceived to have the street cred.
Well, the Roots are also made up of six other people. I just happen to be the mouthpiece of the Roots.
So it's okay that you don't have street
cred. But No, I mean, my credibility comes in the fact that when it comes to music, you have to have a vast vocabulary of musical knowledge, at least for me. I mean, now pretty much hip hop is, and it's just at water stage, which is you know, just turn on a beat machine. You know, you have a lot of producers saying with great pride and alacrity, like, oh, you know, I made this beat in 3 minutes, you know, which I'm like, wow, okay. Whereas I think that for me, a requirement for a good producer in hip hop is one that has to have a vast knowledge of musical substance. You know, just the cats that I look up to, they collect records, they know certain musicians, you know that there's a vast vocabulary that you have to know.
Questlove, the co-founder and drummer of the hip-hop band The Roots. They begin a national tour today. Their latest CD is called Phrenology. After it was released, a review in Details magazine said hip-hop's best live band may have just served notice that they're hip-hop's best band, period. I asked if it bothers him when people think the most important thing in hip-hop is street credibility rather than musical ability.
Well, that becomes a problem in hip-hop because pretty much... Well, in life or in entertainment in general, there's only five routes that one's allowed to take, at least as a young black male, that one is allowed to take in order to achieve any type of success. Number one, obviously, is the over-the-top, the vicarious fantasy gangster image that people are in love with. Number two is the Mandingo factor, that I like to say, the Mandingo factor, which sort of reinforces the sexual stud, overtly sexual stereotype. Number three is the, I guess, the over-the-top personality. I really want to... I really want to go there and say coon, but that's a little too harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an over the top personality. Number four is the sugar pop, sort of diluted, apolitical, ambiguous area, and number five, unfortunately, is the one I try and walk on, but it doesn't seem to work. The art for art's sake route, which is pretty much a neutral ground, and that becomes a problem because it forces people to actually have to really focus on the character and figure out what they are. You know, I mean, the Roots aren't gangster, the Roots aren't political, the Roots aren't overtly sexual, the Roots aren't clowns, the Roots aren't easily categorized, and as a result, you know, it's just a slow journey to, it's sort of like the tortoise and the hare, it's just a slower journey to the finish line.
Well,
you eventually get there.
The Art for Art's Sake group isn't usually the group with the biggest commercial success.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that interesting, you know. But you get a lot of people that, oh, you know, what type of microphones do you, you know, like a lot of art for art's sake questions, you know, which I don't necessarily mind. But sometimes it does get frustrating, mm-hmm. that, you know, because you're not fulfilling a particular requirement for people.
Mm-hmm. The Roots are from Philly, and for a lot of rappers, like the place they're from becomes like mythologized through their raps.
Right.
What do you think you've done like to create a Philadelphia in your music?
Well, Philadelphia had sort of a bad / nondescript reputation between...
In hip-hop, you mean? Because there was the Philly sound before that.
Yeah, I'm just talking in terms of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm,
Even though, I'll say two of the major important factors of hip-hop history have originated in Philadelphia. Number one, gangster rap. Pretty much there's debate as to whether Ice-T, who's from L.A., or Schoolie D, who's from 52nd and Parkside, was the first quote-unquote gangster rapper. And pretty much anybody that's familiar with Schoolie D can give you pretty much an account of where they were the first time they ever heard his classic, PSK, What Does It Mean? You know, because we just never heard a rap that explicit. You know, pretty much hip-hop before then was about partying, and, you know, there were some reality rhymes here and there. You know, the message by Grandmaster Flash, and maybe it's like mm-hmm. that by Run DMC. But, you know, pretty much everyone's been, like, politically correct. You didn't hear that much profanity, that much cursing, and that much honesty. You know, Schoolie D talked like your older cousin on the corner, you know, or the guys that you knew down the street on the corner. And, you know, he was very influential to a lot of right. of people, the Beastie Boys, and the list goes on.
So what's and your also, yeah what's your image of Philly in your music?
We had to take that, and well, let me just quickly say that the other important element was the art of DJing. Philadelphia has four very important pioneers in DJing: Jazzy Jeff, DJ Cash Money, DJ Miz, and DJ Cheese, all from the tri-state area, and they're pretty much the standard for which DJs today are basing their skills on. When you talk about DJs doing the look mono hand tricks and whatnot, so pretty much that's all that Philly. Those were the two major factors that Philly offered in the 80s, and. You know, living under New York's shadow didn't help matters much because, you know, they were the creme de la creme of right. culture.
So what's the picture of Philly that you think your music gives in the stories that it tells?
Right now, I guess the sound of Philly is the sound of a term that they've coined called neo-soul, mm-hmm. which is pretty much... a musical backdrop of lush arrangements, Fender Rhodes, like lush jazzy 70s jazz arrangements, the same instruments that a Roy Ayers would use, Fender Rhodes and upright bass, lush strings, you know, keeping the strings from the original Philadelphia sound. The drums are just a little more quote-unquote crunk, meaning more... street. So basically it's like street drums over a lush arrangement, sort of the contrast there. And that's the sound, pretty much the sound of Philadelphia. That's the sound of Jill Scott. That's the sound of music. That's the sound that we were a part of developing. Of course, Phrenology is the exact opposite of that sound because we didn't want to get typecast into just one particular sound.
Mm-hmm. One last thing. I'm interested in your record collection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand you have a really big one. What's the range of things that you listen to?
Anything. I'm just into anything musical. You know, I like the incredible Bongo Rock group. I like David Bowie. I like, you know, I collect a lot of rare hip-hop records. And I collect just a lot of obscure records that have been used in samples. I'm very curious in the ingredients that other producers have used to make their records, you know. Sort of like someone going out and buying a cookbook to see the ingredients that went right. inside of a right. particular stew. So I collect those type of things.
Do you collect a lot of vinyl?
Yeah, I'm about 27,000 strong right now.
Of vinyl?
I know that's not messing with ZJ Shadow's collection. I heard he's up to 60,000.
Wow. It's so, mighty impressive, though.
I got some ways to go, but I'll get there.
Okay, and one final question.
Yes.
How come you wear an afro?
Because I'm secretly a chia pet.
I won't sing the theme.
Right.
Yeah.
My hair just grows. I come from a family that, you know, I don't have the patience nor the time to go to a barbershop and get it cut every 3 seconds. So my hair just grows. It's always been problematic for me. Just thank God it's in style now. Imagine me trying to get through this hairstyle in the late 80s and the early 90s, you know. Back then I could do a flat top thing, but I keep it. It's my crown, you know. It's sort of symbolic now, but it was a problem back in the day. You know, people staring at me like, oh my God. You know, now it's no thing because everyone has it.
Oh, besides you're you, so
yeah, exactly.
You can do it now.
I'm an individual.
That's right. Thank
or
you so
one
much.
Of Missing Jacksons.
Oh, thank
All right, thank you.
Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Tara.
Questlove is the drummer and co-founder of the hip-hop band The Roots. Their latest CD is called Phrenology. The band starts a national tour today.
Roots featuring Tommy Tommy doing the new jam from the Phrenology LP entitled Rolling With Heat. It's the top of the hour. We're about to prepare you for another 2 hours of...